So that's the idea, basically, is like find trends, build a studio around it. Could be like micro apps, basically.
I think micro apps are the angle. Yeah. Again, this, you know, when we break it down in that like simplified form, it sounds so obvious and so stupid.
Yeah.
But like really, this is actually, and like find trends, like that's like a very hard thing, I think, for the average person to do. But I think to that point, like I think it's going to get easier and easier to see these trends that are occurring. Like, and you can do that trend analysis now at a level that just like previously was impossible. And so you can also ship the product so quickly that you can actually ride that wave. And I think that that, again, just feels like there's something in there that's going to become more common. And it's really like the larger trend that's happening with like Cali AI and like these other apps that do like that specific action, that specific thing. There's a ton, like a ton of opportunity in those because there's just the TAM of that is huge, right? So
what are we doing today?
Today we're doing, I mean, we're doing startup ideas, but I want to give you the distribution as always. Come prepared, right? Don't even come on the show if you're not doing it.
Full disclosure, we've both had 4 Cuban coffees.
I'm wired right now.
We're wired. All right, what's idea number one?
Okay, do you know much about like Lightroom presets?
Not really.
Okay. So it's like basically photographers use them to get like a certain style of the photo. So for example, like if you want your wedding to have like a specific aesthetic, right? You'd go and use these presets. Often like, you know, there's this whole like economy around this too of people selling presets. So like a lot of photographers, this is what they do is they have these preset packs that you go and you buy from them. So I think there's an opportunity to totally just erode this market and basically turn it into a subscription software for photographers. So how you do this, you can take a photo and you can get AI to create the XML that creates the Lightroom preset. So imagine this, I go in, I upload the photo and I'm like, write the code for whatever this Lightroom preset is so it gets the aesthetic, okay? So you can do that. Make these XML packets at scale, right? And then what I think you can do is then turn this into a subscription software where then you go and you're basically selling access to this, say it's $29 a month. You can make whatever preset you want. You find a photo, the aesthetic that you like, and you're about to go do a shoot or whatever, you're doing some edits. You can basically upload that source photo of the preset that you're looking for, and it creates the basically the plugin for you automatically. Download that, imports right into Lightroom, and then suddenly you have that preset already defined. You don't have to play with it. So what this solves is instead of, you can basically build whatever preset you want, like using the AI image recognition. So we messed around with this like 2 weeks ago, saw that you could actually do this. Huge market for this. Tons of search volume for like X preset, right? Like X Lightroom preset. Also, you can target people on Facebook ads that have a Photoshop or a Lightroom interest or an Adobe interest. And then you just run ads. It's really similar actually to the SVG one that we talked about forever ago. Same idea where it's like, here's this subculture of people that are buying these like, you know, like pre-made, whatever, digital products. And let's just turn that into a subscription revenue rather than having it be. And this is something they use like on a weekly, you know, the daily basis when they're doing these edits. They're constantly looking for them. And so
the margin on that is like
infinite. I mean, it's like 99%, right? Like it's just the code. Also, as the company, like there's two sides of it. So I think what you could do is you could have it where it's like the customer could upload the preset and build their own preset, or you just have this library of presets that they can go and download, just an XML file download. And so then your job as like the company is you just go, you scrape all the photo, like I would probably find all the keywords that people are looking for, like boho Lightroom presets, right? Or whatever. Go find all the variations of the photos. And then you take those, build out the XML file, and then people like have some for free, like do like a 10 preset pack that's like a free download that gets their email, put them into a drip nurture, upselling them into the subscription. I mean, it's done.
Dude, tell me if this is a bad idea. What if you bought 1,000 domains? Boho, 1,000%. Lightroom. You know where I'm going with this, right?
Yes, 100%.
Yeah, so you buy the domain.
Yep.
for the search terms.
100%.
So it comes up like number one on Google, quick, fast.
100%.
And then you just lead them to the subscription.
Just funnel them into it, into the company, 1,000%.
Cost what? Is domain cost what now?
$10.
$10.
Yeah, you can get hosting or hosting. I think you can do, it's like an infinite amount of domains. They charge on a bandwidth, but you could just do like WordPress sites for all of them. That's how all these SEOs do this. Totally.
How do they do it?
So basically there's a huge value for like injury lawyers.
And dude, all these yeah, like sites. I always see their billboards.
Yep.
I'm always like,
how do they make money?
Well, actually, that's how you think. You're like, how do I think about it? I'm like, who are these people getting injured?
Totally, totally.
How many people are getting injured that 80% of the billboards I see in Miami are, you know, personal injury lawyers?
Totally. So anyway, there's this whole...
Quick break in the pod to tell you a little bit about Startup Empire. So Startup Empire is my private membership where it's a bunch of people like me, like you, who want to build out their startup ideas. Now they're looking for content to help accelerate that. They're looking for potential co-founders. They're looking for tutorials from people like me to come in and tell them, how do you do email marketing? How do you build an audience? How do you go viral on Twitter? All these different things. That's exactly what Startup Empire is. And it's for people who want to start a startup but are looking for ideas, or it's for people who have a startup but just they're not seeing the traction that they need. So you can check out the link to startupempire.co in the description.
Basically, so why this is a thing is because to buy CPC ads or PPC ads on law-related keywords is super expensive. Like it's like, you know, for Miami, it's probably $120 a click, right? For like truck injury lawyer. So what these SEOs do, and then what these brands do, or what these companies do, is they're basically building an owned media asset that is a way for them to do like lead farming. So they find every long tail keyword that's related to a brand. That's related to like some, search term that's like to this high ticket item. That's like a one-time purchase. And then they go, they rank that, they basically like farm these leads in. What happens is then, they do what's called a rank and rent. So they basically like rent the site, the leads of that site to a company. And then often what happens is like after that company sees the lead volume that's coming from the site, they then go and they're like, hey, we want to buy this and like have it in our portfolio, because then it's an asset. This is like a, you know, asset line within the law firm, right? Because they're like, oh, we own like, we'll say a portfolio of 50 domains that are constantly going to be sending leads to us, is the idea. So why this works is because long tail exact domains still actually work for ranking on Google with even all the algorithm changes and updates. Actually, it's pretty insane. So what Greg is talking about with like, oh, you buy all these domain variations like Boho, Lightroom preset, right? Or whatever the variation is. The opportunity there is that you can rank those domains really effectively. So that creates this top of funnel. If you have 1,000 sites that are ranking for all of these high intent keywords, that just like funnels down into a single business. And again, you're just taking the same idea that the law industry is using and applying it in this space. And law is just one of them. Like med spas are another. Like anything that's like, again, high ticket, there's opportunity there. There's probably, this is a totally different world, but in truck parking, there's like a huge opportunity to do the same strategy. We looked at it at one point, but anyway, didn't move forward with it, so.
Truck part, like only you just know that opportunity exists. I'd love you for it. That's why you're here. Okay, so I think one point on that, I want to confirm with you. If you end up building a portfolio of all these domains, generating tons of leads, that itself you can sell.
1,000%.
Right?
1,000%.
So like, how much could you make in something like that? Like what kind of multiples?
Huge, yeah. Depending on the industry.
Yeah.
Cause like a lot of the people I know that do this, that's their whole strategy. They go and like, basically they bundle these domains and they sell them to a PE. Cause think about it as like digital real estate. You know, it's like a real estate portfolio that your real estate is on the front page of Google, right? Like that's the whole concept. But I mean, it depending on the industry, right? Like if you look at like a truck, accident lead, like you're talking about like 40 grand plus. So think about, okay.
Wait, so the lead is worth $40,000?
Yes. That's like the value of this. So like this is a huge, like this is a huge business. Like I'm talking like, you know, and the $10 million plus, if you have like 50 domains that are in high, like, you know, area or like high population dense areas. And that's like the whole game. The challenge is that these domains, are, everybody knows this, right? So the, what you have to do is like, if you want to go buy, you know, say even like a domain for like Kansas City or something, right? And it's like some long tail domain, it's going to cost you like still a grand, right? So there is some type of like capital up from investment. That domain isn't even being used for this. It's just like domain squatters, but the domain squatters know that they're valuable because of this whole ecosystem that exists around this. And again, there's, we're just using the lawyers because it's like one of the easiest ones, but there's like hundreds of these categories, right? And it's a lot of it is, I mean, even like CrossFit gyms, I've seen them do this in the past, where they own like all these long tail keywords that are related to that business. HVAC companies do this as well. It's just a lead, like they're just lead, like it, a lot of it's like local businesses that it's going to be in a physical location that you're searching for this.
So. Cool. Okay. So I get this idea. So it's like on paper, I'm like, how doesn't this work? Yeah. Someone's got to go build it to honestly find out.
Yeah.
So we'll put a bow on that idea. What do you got next?
Next one I got for you is something a little bit different. It's in the AI space as well, but totally different category. So it's in e-com land. Tons of search volume for AI for e-commerce newsletters.
AI for e-commerce newsletters.
Okay. Going apeshit right now.
Yeah.
I think the reason for it is like people just don't know what to include with. How do you talk about your products like so often? So I think that's one element. The other, the search intent that I'm also seeing for it is like, they're looking for like, basically, how do I design these email newsletters? We talked about this before, like this like AI chat, you know, on site, like imagine V0, but for designing email newsletters. I think that what it feels like there's people are looking for is basically, hey, I want to have like this predefined template, but then I want to just like chat with the AI to like insert specific products. So a lot of these e-commerce companies, they still like hard code these emails that they're building, right? Like if you're legit, you're doing all the design of these emails. Like you're writing all of this, you know, disgusting email code to like get, you know, it's just like tables within tables basically. And so what you could do is, I mean, and this is, I've literally done this work in like a past life where you would go into the email template and you would change like certain photos and sections. And like, I've messed stuff up like countless times because you're, again, like tables within tables of programming occurring. And like, you know, the link's not actually clickable. And that's the whole point of this image being in there. So I think the angle is basically, it's probably both the ability to modify a template that they already have for their email, like the promotion of their products, whatever the emails are that they send out through Klaviyo or whatever. And then also just like writing newsletters about like, okay, the holiday's coming up. Like what are some products that are related to this holiday and an angle that I can spin those in so that it tells like some type of like story narrative. Like say you're selling, you know, festive, I don't know, like Christmas mugs or whatever, you know, something like that. It's how do I mean, I think one could be like identify the products in my catalog that are related to this event, this time and that something is happening. And then how do I write about that in the storytelling format and kind of automate that process? So I'm curious your thoughts there. Again, I don't really know, like this is just based off the search intent that I've seen, but that, I mean, it's a growing keyword and yeah, I'm curious what you think on like what people are actually looking for.
I mean, just curious, okay, on that idea, like to be honest, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like the previous idea, I was like, yes.
Yeah.
I see it.
Yeah.
I like 97% see it. And
yeah.
And the last 3%, you always kind of have to go and build it to really figure it out. This idea feels like if I have, you know, to be honest, I prefer the first idea, the light.
Yeah.
Idea.
Yeah. What do you think people are searching for with like AI for e-commerce newsletters? Like why is that search volume like going up? And like, why are people... Cause that's the thing that like, also I'm like, I don't know, like I'm making a guess.
Yeah.
Like this is what I think people are looking for, but like they're looking for something. Right. And I think that's a lot of this is like, I don't know what it is. Like that last 3% that you're talking about, like we think this is it. I don't know if it's actually this, but
yeah, I mean, I don't know, dude.
Yeah.
Like the reality is, everyone's searching for AI for XYZ.
Yeah, totally. So
we know that. AI for e-commerce, I see it. Mm-hmm. You know, okay, like that's a huge category. That's a huge niche. But then you have the sub-niche of AI for e-commerce newsletters. And I'm like, kind of like, get out of here, dude.
Yeah.
I'm like, that, on one hand, I want to look at it and be like, something is up. Like the trend data, I don't know. There's a bunch of bots that are just searching for this. On the other hand, sometimes the best business ideas are these like weird ones, right?
Sounds stupid.
Sounds so stupid. Yeah.
The only reason I'm interested in this, or like it like jumped out at me, is so I had a friend that used to work at Klaviyo, and he's like, yo, 80% of the people that are using this aren't using it. Like they're paying for this, but they're like not extracting all the value out of it. And so it feels like some version of that. And like, again, I don't know if this is an agent. I don't know if this thing is just running in the back. Like, I don't know what this looks like, but I feel like they know they need to do email marketing. They have no, and I've been in the same, you know, situation, like with running like for email for an e-commerce company. It's like, what do you even say in this thing? Because you're just talking about the same products like over and over and over. Like, how do I come from different angles every time so that it feels unique, but I'm not trying to get the same end goal to happen?
Totally.
So it feels like there's something in there. And it is a pain point because they're like, I'm paying whatever, you know, $1,000 a month for this Klaviyo subscription, you know, $12,000 a year. And we're doing a send a month. Like that's not, I can extract so much more value from that. What does that look like? And
here's my framework for coming up with ideas based on this idea and other ideas like it that I think could be absolutely massive. So you pick a tool that has high LTV like Klaviyo. What do you think an LTV of a Klaviyo customer is?
I think their average is they last around like 24 months. So I'm guessing like $25,000.
Yeah, so $25,000, a HubSpot, $25,000, $50,000. Go to, you know, ChatGPT, type in high LTV SaaS companies that have a market cap more than $1 billion, gives you a list. So then you have all these softwares. Your insight, really smart, 80% of people are paying for the software but not getting the most out of it. Really big insight. So then it becomes, could you build a productized service that could eventually be like AI fully autonomous, but a productized service that we're, you know, we help you get the most out of Klaviyo?
I have something for you.
Oh, here
we go. Piggyback off this. Do you know what the software Sage is called? Like Sage 100, Sage 300?
I don't.
Okay. It is the biggest, it's basically QuickBooks, but for construction companies. One of the biggest softwares in the world. Okay, just full stop. Massive. So many companies use it because it's one of the biggest categories. All right, there is like tens of thousands of long tail keywords for how to XYZ in Sage 100. In Sage 300. It's all these different variations of the software. They're doing the same thing. Sage Online. I think there's massive agency opportunity to go in and basically be like, we are the Sage consulting company that comes in. And it's literally like every construction company in the US uses this. Like that is your target market that you're going after. And you're just basically building out, you know, whatever. It's most likely workflows that you're doing for them. Or the same thing that you do in like HubSpot consulting or like Salesforce consulting, right? Where you build these custom dashboards out or whatever that ends up being. So again, huge category. There's probably a play within plugins for that as well. Again, they have a marketplace. Of course they do. One of these massive companies. So just random. I feel like that's related to like, here's huge software that... you know, is underserved. How do you go and, you know, provide some type of service within it?
Totally. So it sounds like it's find underserved software, number one, then it's build an agency, productized agency, turn that agency into productized agency. Then it's build templates, digital assets, sell them, high margin, 90%+ margin. And then it's, can I, you know, add
do plugins? Can I do, you know, custom builds on top of this? Because suddenly you know how the API works way better than anybody else in the industry. And you just found that the last 10 clients asked for the same thing. Can I do it, you know, a subscription version of this that's $100 instead of $1,000 to do this build out for them?
And the reality is that you build all those things, you will be able to sell to HubSpot if you're building a HubSpot, you know, business or Sage or Shopify or whatever it is, right? They're gonna, if you could convince them that people who sign up to your service use their product more,
the core product more,
core product more, that's huge for them.
Totally. Yeah. And it makes a better experience on top of their software, which creates like longer stickiness. Like, yeah.
This is good.
Yeah. But so next one, agency. So piggybacking off of exactly what we're talking about of a software that's growing. Have you heard of Lalo yet?
No.
Okay. VC company, growing like crazy. They are a drop CRM is how they're positioning themselves. But they're doing like SMS, they're doing email, they do Instagram DMs, and I think they're moving into TikTok and all this. It's basically how it functions. Like, say I'm a creator or I'm like a music artist. So like, for example, Zach Bryan used them on his last tour. He has this huge list, all the tickets drop, they hit the whole list, and you can also like do like, you know, if you're on the list, you get special access or whatever that ends up being. All of the major record labels are switching to this right now. The only reason I know this is because I do a little bit of work out of Nashville with for my friend who's an artist. And like, they switched over. Everybody that's on his management company is now in the process of switching over. I think there's a massive opportunity to go and build the Lalo agency. From the conversations I've had, nobody knows how to get people onto these lists. All I'm doing and what we're seeing success with, we take their Instagram account and we do a match audience to anybody that's engaged with the Instagram account. So this is the artist that we're doing. We then run an ad that is a giveaway ad. So, you know, get $100 worth of merch for free when you sign up. So these people already have an interest in that person. We know that they're a fan and we are running a merch ad to them and we just run that continually, just constantly. And then at the end of each month, announce the winner and it turns into this repeatable thing. We're getting people to sign up for like under a dollar on this, right? And so, which is crazy. And then what you're basically doing is like the whole angle is like, hey, we run that whole playbook for you. Like and this is this continuous thing that's going. And the angle of why it's continuous is you're constantly making like different ad variations, different creative testing, different. So where this can even get deeper is you can strategically go and be like, hey, we know that the tour next year is gonna be in these locations. I want to run the ads just to these locations so that we get a mailing list for those specific venues or those specific locations where the artist is going to be this next year. So that when those tickets drop, boom, I hit that entire audience, right? And I immediately get sales. So you can be like, you know, almost scalpel-like in the targeting that you're doing on this. So anyway, I'm curious your thoughts.
And can you personalize it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, all of it. Yeah.
So how would you personalize it? Because I think that's what a lot of people don't realize that's happening right now in growth and marketing is like we're moving from one size fits all marketing to, you know, personalized
totally
with AI.
So thinking about, so two things there, the artists, the ads, like we can do variations of the artist being like, hey, I'm doing a giveaway, like, you know, click the link to blah, blah, whatever it is, right? So you can do those variations. And then the other thing that you could do is because it's geography.
When you say doing those variations,
yeah.
You mean I'll pick your favorite artist, Charlie
XCX,
you know, Charlie XCX. For those of you who don't know, Cody is literally, no, forget super fan, the number one fan.
I was Charlie in the top XCX. 1%.
You were in the top 0.0. You're in the top one, dude.
I love Charlie. And all these bandwagon fans, man, they need it's killing me.
Get out of here.
I was at her bat tour and they were like, oh, they like, I was with my girlfriend. They asked like, who's the fan? And she's like, oh, he is. And you know, I look out of place there and the people that like ask this, they're like, oh yeah, for sure. I knew every lyric. They knew maybe two songs. So get out. It kills me. But anyways.
So you can take, you're saying using AI.
You could use AI. I think the artist would have like hesitancy with that from the brand standpoint. What we just had the artist do is like, hey, you know, here's five different scripts. Like just literally do a selfie video of you at a venue right. And just like read out the scripts, you know, whatever, 20 seconds long. And then we test all those variations against each other, see which one has the cheapest CPC, the cheapest sign up, you know, people giving their phone number, their contact information.
Well, just to speak to that for a second. So, okay, maybe Charlie is doing the, I could just see your like heart drop whenever I say the word Charlie. Charlie records the script, but the background could be, you know, if it's in Miami.
New variation.
Yeah, new variation, right?
That's, totally.
That either stock video or AI generated. I remember Nikita Beer, you know, with TBH and Gas, his viral social apps. He was creating ads and content where he was focusing on high schools and college campuses. But, you know, I think what made it his ads and content so effective was, you know, if you saw an ad for University of Alabama.
Location, that's brilliant.
Right? So he's targeting University of Alabama. The background isn't just some random college campus. It's, Alabama quad or whatever.
Yeah, totally. Something that's recognizable that the whole, I guess, like, you know, micro community or that geography would know exists.
Or high schools even, right?
Yeah, totally.
Even like a 500, 300, 200 person high school.
Totally.
They see that ad creative and they're like, wow, this is obviously a product for me.
Specific for me, totally. Yeah. So take that, you know, just to flesh that out even further. So you take that, you know, the talent that they recorded the video, we remove the background and be like, I'm coming to your city. It could be generic even, or change it, right? Whatever, do some lip sync. But I'm coming to your city. I want to give away free tickets to you. Click the ad to learn more, and it like shows the background of the place that they're at. And then you do that geo-targeting, that ad just runs to that specific location. I mean, you could probably get that sign up even lower. These people already know they exist, right? Like they're already bought in. You're just trying to get them on that, on this list, which is like, what do you offer them? And again, we're just seeing this, you know, playbook of like merch giveaway. They already like this person, like work really effectively for this.
What do you say to people who say building a startup in the music business is like a terrible idea?
I think yes and no. I think there's straight up an opportunity. Probably if you go and do like a Webflow or web design agency that is specifically for artists, every year they renew their website, every album drop. And like they're constantly doing updates and edits on it. Like you could, I know a dude that does this and it's like $2,000 a month. He's on subscription, yeah. Right? And it's terrible. The experience is terrible. Really hard to get into that world, but like once you get one, then it's, you get all of them. Cause like all of them are, you get the entire management team is typically how this happens. So like a management company, right? Like they would go, they manage 30 artists and like you get one of those artists and you provide a great experience. Like you're going to get every one of those artists is going to come, you know, back to you basically. Cause there's all this crosstalk that happens internally, like on like whatever the strategies are that are happening. Like that's the whole point of the management company, how they function now is they're almost like a, you know, a growth agency or like the media team that's behind this artist. So like the label isn't really doing that. The label doesn't even know what's going on. Nobody knows what's going on, but like specifically the label doesn't know what's going on. The artists and the management company are becoming more and more of that like lever that actually pulls and makes difference for the music.
Labels, so, like, am I?
They're like a bank.
Yeah, exactly.
That's all they've turned into.
Yeah.
So
God bless him.
Yeah. Paying all the bills. All right, cool. So this is a physical one, but I'm just like, okay, so I just feel like it's like, this is a huge trend that's about to happen. So that's why I'm bubbling.
Before you even say this idea, okay, physical idea.
Yeah.
Would you ever actually start a physical idea? How should people be thinking about software versus physical right now?
Yeah. So I think software or like any of these digital companies, it's great if it's cutthroat though, right? Like you're playing against the world. I think that's the difference. Whereas like these physical locations, like, or these physical businesses, you're just competing against the people in your geography. And like, if there's a certain biology of that, you know, demographic area or that geographic area, like these can work really well. And like the one I'm about to tell you is that. So this business is a dog park that has a bar in it. Obvious.
Say less, dude.
Okay. Yeah. So we take our dog there some days of the week, just to like when we're cleaning the house and, you know, running the vacuum or whatever. And we don't want him to like just be in the way. And it's also like for him too, gets to hang out and, you know, have some social. So it's a boarding like daycare place. The dog has to be okay to be in there. Once they're okay, they can go to the dog park. There's a bar at the dog park at 4 p.m. every day. That bar is popping. I'm talking like, you're talking, you know, peak 11 p.m., like New Year's Eve, like bar level of turns that are happening, the whole thing. It is insane. And I think that there is a huge opportunity. They just have it in like a warehouse that's like all like, you know, it's in this like industrial park that they put this thing in. There's nothing else out there besides really this facility. And I think it's massive. The other side of it too, that they do is they have this like app that throughout the day when they're watching the dog, it like you, they take photos of the dog and then they give like a play by play of like what it's doing. Girlfriend is obsessed with it. She's like, oh my God, like I get this, like, it's almost like a feed of like, right, hit, you know, their day basically. So kind of two sides of a similar business, but like, I think specifically like dog park bar is just this massive, massive opportunity just based on what I'm seeing. So
but how do you actually go and start that?
That's
where you're like, I don't
know. I have no idea. Like getting the liquor license, the whole thing, like that's a huge lift. This would have to be, but you know, somebody that knows that industry or knows that world. But I think that idea of like a place where I can take my dog that has like some type of social thing connected to it, because they're charging for the dog and then for the drinks, right? Mm. So you're getting like the dog turn, but then also like the drink turn. It could even be a coffee shop or something as well. But it's like, oh, the dog can play for 2 hours. You drink two coffees or whatever, or you drink two drinks or three drinks, whatever that ends up being. And the bigger thing is it's like this third space that people go to,
yeah,
that they can meet up, which is like everybody's looking for that third space right now. So a bigger thing. On the marketing side, super easy. It's just Facebook ads to people who own dogs. That's it. Super, super easy. Do like higher income, you know, 26 to 35, you're in the money. But
I think like a members only version of this could be really interesting.
Totally agree.
Yeah. So like, the trend is the Soho Houseification of everything.
Yep.
I'm starting to see like the Soho House, but for kids.
Yep.
Like you bring your kids there.
Totally.
The Soho House for like people who play paddle.
Totally.
Which is like an up and coming trend. So you basically, you have the macro trend of the Soho Houseification of everything.
It's just country clubs.
Yeah, exactly.
It's millennial country clubs.
Millennial country clubs are coming back.
Yep.
You have a
Are though. I think they are.
They are.
Dues, I think they're gonna rebrand too.
They need to yeah, exactly. Dues, and then you chart. You make money on you know, hospitality.
It's such a like a repeat, like from how I understand the economics of these country clubs work. Like you have the dues, you have to hit that amount. If you don't, you still pay that money.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Like so, the company is guaranteeing they're gonna get X dollar amount from you during that year, right?
By the way, it's not like they like hit you up and they're like, by the way, you haven't hit your limit and go spend $2,000. They're just like, I hope Greg doesn't send them an email.
Exactly. And ask about this.
Yeah.
Totally. Totally. So, but do we have time for another?
Let's do another idea.
Okay, cool. Next one for you. This one is more just like a larger trend I'm starting to see with like very specific AI apps. So like this AI app went viral recently. It's like text behind image is literally
that one.
And so what it is like for the audience is basically, it's literally like, here's a person, there's a background behind them that's like beautiful. And then they put like one word text that's like, you know, sunset. It's so stupid.
Well, I think the use case is like YouTube thumbnails.
Yeah, yeah. That's one of the pieces. Yeah. You had him on your show recently.
Daniel Dalen.
Yeah. He does that style.
Amazing.
Right? Yeah.
So basically what happened is, I think this guy or girl saw this trend in YouTube thumbnails and was like, how do I make it really easy to do it? Productized it, got a lot of traction.
100%. So I think that those, like, there's all of these very small things that people are trying to do, like background removal or like cloud removal. And like all this stuff has kind of existed in some forms before. And like all these like Facetune apps and stuff like this. But I think that there's, and this is just like API wrapper games that you could play, but it's like, okay, well, we have this like app framework that's like text behind image. Like all that's happening there is like, it's probably just an API call that's like putting this, you know, doing the separation and the whole thing. that could just be like reused over and over again for all of these like small actions that people are trying to go viral with. And how I'm seeing people price these is you basically buy like credit packs where it's like, you know, whatever, $4 a month and you get 10 credits a month or something. But, or a lot of the times it's like the classic, you know, app pricing where it's like $7 a week and it's like actually $29 a month. That's what that's translating into, right? But I think that...
No one talks about that.
Dude, that's what is happening here. Yeah. And then they get 3 months out of it and they just got $100 for, you know, an acquisition cost of like $3, right? Because they're like, I'll impulse buy $7.99.
You know where that started? Ringtones.
Oh, no
Do you
way.
Remember that?
Yeah. They're coming back, I heard.
What?
Yes. I heard they're coming back. I've heard that like there's this whole...
Did your grandmother tell you that?
No, or? Dude. This is like, I think Sam Parr tweeted about it, of okay. how there's like these companies that are growing again and it's like a nostalgia thing. Mm. Like selling nostalgia of like, you know, you put like a Britney ringtone on, like Toxic is what plays when people call you.
So funny.
Dude, amazing, right?
Like if I was hanging out with you and then all of a sudden Toxic by Britney Spears came on.
Straight up.
Dude, you would be... You would go up in my book.
I would be amazing, right? Yeah. And it would be, and I think that's it. It's like a, you know, it's a brand.
It's a small price to pay for being cool with your friends.
Exactly. And I think that's back. So anyway, yeah, I don't know how we ended up in the retail world, but
all roads lead to Toxic by Britney Spears.
1,000%. The best karaoke song to sing, by the way. You want to get a crowd pumping? It's like that or Sweet Caroline. Like those two will get everybody hyped.
How did we get here?
I have no idea.
Rafa, you know how we got here? Jordan, you know how we got here? Text behind image.
Text behind image was it.
Let's go.
So yeah, I think that is the angle. I think you could just ride these waves. And actually like this, like, you know, you have an app framework that you're just like replacing the guts each time. I think that this is what's going to happen with a lot of these like startup studios. And I think this is actually a larger trend where like, if you even look behind, you know, the guys that are doing like Cursor, right? Or like any of these, they're all like labs. Like that's how they position themselves and how they're raising money. Like we're an AI lab or they're like product studios. Cause it's like, you know, we have a 10 cracked engineers and we can push stuff out in like 24 hours, right? And I think that larger trend at like different scales of the game are going to be happening more and more because it's just so fast, right? Like we're in this very ephemeral media landscape. And because of that, like a trend can go viral for 90 days. And it's like, how do you ride that wave? And I think that there's people that are doing this.
So that's the idea basically, is like find trends, build a studio around it. Could be like micro apps basically.
I think micro apps are the angle. Yeah. Again, this, you know, when we break it down in that like simplified form, it sounds so obvious and so stupid.
Yeah.
But like really this is actually, and like find trends, like that's like a very hard thing I think for the average person to do. But I think to that point, like I think it's going to get easier and easier to see these trends that are occurring. Like even the tools that I know you guys are building internally of like, here's things that are popping off, right? Like, is there a way that we can inject or insert ourselves into this? And you can do that trend analysis now at a level that just like previously was impossible. And so you can also ship the product so quickly that you can actually ride that wave. And I think that again, it just feels like there's something in there that's going to become more common.
By the way, someone listening to this is going to be like, yeah, that's just like a small idea, building these like micro apps. But the reality is Adobe does this. Literally Adobe does this. Like they look for search terms, they create micro apps that funnels to their main apps.
Yeah. Do you know Veed, right? Veed.io. They're like an online video editor company.
How do I spell that?
It's like Veed.io.
Yeah, I know them, but
yeah,
I haven't.
Yeah. Yeah. So they launched a captions app for videos.
Yeah.
Where you just like, it's a standalone app away from their core product. They also have like mobile full video editing. It just does captions, right? It got to 1 million ARR in, I think it was like 27 days, if I remember right. And again, they had an audience, like they had an email list and all these users already. So like that's how they can do that. But like, when you think about that, like here's this app that does this one thing only, but the audience is so big that you can go after, like, it's like, even if you get a small percentage of it, it's really like the larger trend that's happening with like Kali AI and like these other apps that do like that specific action, that specific thing. There's a ton of opportunity in those because there's just the TAM of that is huge, right? So, and I think that this is like a big trend in all, like everybody that's like, you know, go like, well, Canva does this already or anything. Yeah, like they do this, but like there's this subset of people that want to do this on their phone really easily, right? And they'll pay you for that, right? It's like, it's just like, you know, looking at like people that pay, like play Candy Crush as an example, like majority of their revenue comes from like 10% of their users, right? But there's this subset of people that are willing to pay for this thing because they find value in it. So
totally. It's like,
and everybody edits photos. Like everybody takes photos. Like everybody is your TAM.
It's like when you go to the Cheesecake Factory and you can order anything, you know that's Canva. Dude,
exactly. And you're like, God, I don't even know where to start. I don't know what I want to do.
Like, if you're like, dude, a friend of mine comes to Miami, tells me that he's ordering a Cuban sandwich from Cheesecake Factory because it's on the menu. It's like, yeah, you can order a Cuban sandwich from Cheesecake Factory, but you know, you want to go to the place that has a menu of five things.
Totally.
That has the best Cubano.
Totally.
In town.
Why do people buy from productized services?
Yeah.
Why do they buy from those types of companies? It's because they specialize in a specific thing. And because of that offering, like they can just narrow down and focus, right?
Yeah. And the positioning is tight.
Oh, totally. Yeah. You can wrap your mind around it,
yeah.
Right? And don't get me wrong, like sometimes the experience of like when I go and I have that overwhelmness, like if you go to like a bomb Chinese like dim sum place, like, dude, there's so many things on the menu. Like there's no way that like you're going to be able to, but that like that has its place. But majority of the time people want to make less decisions. So if you're like, this app does this, but there's like, you know, 360 million people that have mobile phones in the US that all could potentially want to do this thing. There's a subset of those people that want to do that, right? And you're going to be able to find them now, especially with like Facebook ad targeting has gotten ridiculous for app installs. Like, I don't know if you guys have seen this where it's like, we're at the point where it's like, you just have enough money, like you just target all of Facebook with some type of conversion action and like, it'll find the people. Like we're not even like, don't even do the targeting. Just like tell them to like, we want this action to happen, send us traffic. And then like, you just run like 100 different variations of creative and it like finds that person. Insane.
We're all talking about agents. Like it's like this brand new thing. Like isn't, that's like an agent basically.
Basically.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like 100%.
My goal is
this action.
This action.
Yep.
That is like the simple way of thinking about what an agent is.
Totally. I don't think people realize like how deep Facebook is on the AI stuff too. Like their entire ad platform is basically just AI, right? Like that's how they're making all their decisions.
Their ad platform is AI and their newsfeed is AI.
It's 1,000%.
Their main product is AI.
100%.
For consumers.
100%.
And their main product for businesses is AI.
Dude,
like how are they not an AI company?
1,000%. They have more text information than the majority of them. It's like higher quality typically in comparison to like shorter form because it's like more long form written content a lot of the time. The whole thing. So anyway, I mean, we don't want to get too deep into that, but on the... the philosophical side of who's going to win this game. But I think it's so obvious to me that like, especially in like the ads, like even with Google, it's not that easy. Like I can just be like, Google, here's my action. Go find me keywords. It's not really good at that. Like it can't do that really yet. Sort of, you can like throw, you know, give it a landing page URL and it will go and like extract the information. But like a lot of the times, like me in there, like in that, you know, the dashboard, like picking what we're actually bidding on, we can get a better like performant convert like CPA than what Google would find on its own. In contrast, Facebook is like a lot of times it depends on the budget size, but it can be better than us if the market is big enough. Like, and there's some B2B like tails cases where that's different, where it's like, oh, this audience is only like 50,000, right? Like we don't want to do all this ad spend to end up finding those 50,000. We'll just go after that 50,000. We'll pay a higher CPC just because we know it's actually the target customer. But the, you know, if it's a product that sells to more than 30% of the US, like just global targeting, and you're going to, like, it's going to find it faster than you'll ever be able to.
All right, bro. So I think that's the episode.
Chilling.
You know?
Thanks for having me.
If you can't figure out how to make money from one of these ideas, I don't know. I don't know, man.
You got it, man. Honestly, reach out. Ask questions in the comments, man. I'm lurking there. I'm happy. I'll just drop a freaking Loom video to you. So
we'll be in the comments. Go check out Cody's podcast.
I don't really even know. Just I'm online. I'm just doing.
You'll see him, Cody Schneider. We'll put his links in the show notes. Dude, always good jamming with you.
Gee, thanks for having me, man. And stoked to do it IRL. It's 100%. Awesome.
We out here.
Yeah.
I'll see you at Cheesecake Factory tonight.
Hell yeah. I'm down. Let's go.